Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. Just glad to be here, Bob.
Doug, it's an honor to have you in studio. We have a lot of crime news to cover.
Justice. Oh, yes.
Yeah, criminal justice.
Injustice. Plenty of injustice.
Yeah, including a Colorado serial rapist who's still out on the streets. A shocking story that one of our Denver Bible Church members indirectly helped to capture him.
Yes.
And hopefully the guy will be convicted, but we'll talk about William Costello in a moment.
Well, let's start with a capital punishment case from outside the state of Colorado. I've got a story here from the San Francisco Chronicle. Apparently out in Sacramento, young man was attempting to apply graffiti to a tall building, and he had been using a rope, apparently. This is all assumed, because he was found dangling dead by the rope. And the police are assuming that he was doing graffiti and accidentally hung himself on the rope he was using.
Yeah, Doug, this case, tragic case.
It's terrible.
Right, but it does illustrate a point that we make over the years, that if you have appropriate punishment, you're going to reduce not only crime, but reduce suffering, reduce all the unintended consequences of crime. So I don't know anything about this guy. Obviously, he's a bit of a punk. Well,
he's a graffiti artist or a tagger, I think they call them.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
So he's probably
and
a punk.
So he's willing to ruin other people's property for his own enjoyment, whatever.
Yeah.
But if, in fact, we would, for example, flog people who do this.
Yeah.
Now, flogging,
I've advocated that for years, for graffiti.
Yeah. Remember in Singapore, there was that young guy.
That's right.
Who he tagged some cars.
Yes, he did. He was an American
boy,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they were going to flog him, I think, 3 lashes.
Cane.
Or 5.
Caning, yeah.
Cane.
I remember they were
going to
cane him. 5 lashes, he says.
And Bill Clinton, 5 lashes. Yeah. It was the caning of Michael.
Yeah.
I always remember it that way.
Yeah, Michael,
like,
I can't remember
Michael
his last
Cain
name.
There.
But, yeah.
But
well, anyway,
we'll get it. But anyway, and Clinton intervened.
That's right, the president.
I thought he was going to cry, you know. and so I think they gave him 1 or 2 lashes. But they intervened. Meanwhile, they interviewed another criminal who had been caned.
Right.
And the media, it was ABC or whoever, and they wanted to make the point that this is ineffective.
Yeah.
And they asked this guy, they said, well, is it really a deterrent? And he said, I would never even think of committing a crime again.
That's
the rest of my life. I wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's a deterrent. And this guy would be alive, most likely, if we were to flog people who commit crimes.
If we had corporal punishment for graffiti, this guy may not have had to suffer capital punishment, which is what he ended up, in a roundabout way, suffering.
Yeah.
So I think this, again, another point that proves that generally we are right here on the show.
Yeah.
Generally.
And when you honor God and you care about his principles, then you bring life and mercy to people.
Yes.
Whereas you dishonor him, you end up with a murder epidemic with 100,000 young Americans growing up to become murderers in the last, just few years.
Well, I don't know if you want to talk about this, because that leads into this story out of Texas that I've been following. I think everyone's been following it. A couple of district attorneys have been murdered there, and one of the district attorney's wife.
Oh.
And there is some
Such
concern.
A great tragedy.
Incredibly horrible.
And here in Colorado, we had the chief correctional officer.
Right. Was murdered.
Murdered.
And
the very day that our governor signed the anti-gun bill.
Yeah. Some dark irony there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So what are they thinking
so there,
in Texas?
So there's some concern that prison gangs, or a prison gang, or maybe more than one, are organizing to get vengeance on the people who convicted
and
them.
How easy would that be, right? If the only thing they need to do is just to think about it. That's it, because they're murderers. We have an assembly line of manufacturing murderers in America. Over 10,000. It was, since I've been on the air, Bob and you're live, it's been as high as, I think, 24,000 murders in 1 year.
Right.
And it varies quite a bit, 15,000.
Mm-hmm.
People who become murderers in a year.
That's right.
And then year after year after year. And so we have plenty of murderers, and they're willing to murder sometimes for, $50 in somebody's purse. And so all they have to do is get the idea, sort of like the Islamic terrorists, just get the idea that you could kill people, a Jewish child, in her bedroom in order to try to change public policy. All they have to do is think, well, why don't we target the people we hate, the prosecutors and the judges, and maybe the politicians. And so the murder epidemic then spills over to where easily they could target the criminal justice system. Great travesty.
Yeah.
And it's not surprising.
I don't think we should be surprised. And, you know, there's nothing built into the justice system in any of the 50 states to really deter an organized action against the that very justice system. That's a catch and release program with some of the most some of the vilest criminals.
Yeah, wasn't there a school murderer? There's so many of them; it's hard to keep them straight.
Yeah.
But just recently, who was in court and was mocking the family, the student that was murdered,
right there in court,
mocking them
as he was sentenced to life.
Now
he was given his life.
Yeah,
in court.
For one, if a murderer like that tries to mock anyone in the process up until the point that they're executed, they should be immediately taken out and flogged immediately.
Yes.
So you're flogged. You're mocking the victims' families. So we lash you. God says, you know, only so many lashes.
Right.
Because otherwise you're going to kill the person.
Yeah.
So it's, what is it? 40.
40
save
lashes.
One.
40 save one.
Well, that's
I think the rabbis added the save one.
They did, because God said maximum of 40 lashes.
40.
And so they build a law around the law.
Right.
Like Eve did.
You know,
we can't even touch the tree.
Not even supposed to touch the
tree. And so if you only do 39, you'll never violate God's law.
Mm-hmm.
And that all, the Bible says that all backfires.
It does.
It's legalism. It makes it more likely you're going to violate, you're going to intentionally murder people like Stephen in the book of Acts.
Mm, absolutely.
Right. But so, okay, so thinking that through.
Well, we've been creating now generation after generation of monsters by locking them up like animals.
Yeah.
Like this guy who killed the chief of Colorado's prisons, he had been in solitary confinement for years, locked up by himself.
Right.
What does that do to a man's mind? And how could you ever release him back on society after doing that? And now the defense attorneys,
Doug,
the judges.
Oh, by the way, with that guy, remember you and I talked about the anti, you know, paranoia and the anti-noia.
Yes, the anti-noia.
Bob
That's
and
us.
Yurt Live is the anti-noia.
We're the anti-noia.
Bob and Doug, the anti-noia.
Right.
And we did that show that the government buys bullets.
Lots of bullets.
And the write-up on that show just about 3 weeks ago or so explains why it's paranoia and it's the 9/11 mentally ill crowd that, for the most part, was promoting this, but other people buy into it.
Oh, yes.
But if I noticed, I barely noticed on a fringe of my peripheral vision, I think some of those 9/11 conspiracy sites were saying this correctional chief was murdered by some connection to Saudi Arabia, terrorism, whatever.
Is that what it is?
That and immediately when I saw that, you know, I dismissed it immediately because it's coming from the conspiracy-minded websites.
Right. Well, you can only go to a source so many times and find it to be ludicrous before you start to discredit really everything associated with that source.
Well, right. Right.
That's what's happened to me with Alex Jones about like 8
years ago. Well, it's, you know, it's because Matt Drudge is delusional and he keeps linking to these conspiracy. These are mentally ill websites.
Yeah.
They're mentally ill, and mental illness, it's catchy.
It's contagious.
If you keep going to those websites, you will start to become mentally ill.
That's true.
You know, your mental health is something you need to guard
and
protect, just like your physical health.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's and then where's the mea culpa in it? You know, where's the, hey, we were really stupid.
Will they ever?
We made this.
Y2K, there weren't a lot of mea culpas, right? Remember Y2K? You remember.
I remember.
There weren't a lot of people going on the air publicly saying, okay, I was wrong.
No.
I feel like an idiot.
Yeah, we were selling the Y2K survival kits on Bob and Your Live.
I remember that.
It was only, I forget how much it cost. I think it was $499.
Right.
You hook it up to your home's electrical system, and exactly at midnight, December 31st, 1999, turning to 2000, it cuts the power to your house. Cuts it. You got a dark out because otherwise your wife will think you're a lunatic. So it cut the power. And for $1,000, you could get it'll also cut your water.
But that was extra.
Yeah.
So I think we shouldn't be surprised that the violence is beginning to affect the very justice officials who've constructed the system of taking people who should be executed.
Yeah.
And instead locking them up like animals, turning them into 10 times the monster they may have been going in.
Right.
And now the violence may be spilling over on them. I think that's a lot more logical than the Saudi Arabia angle.
Yeah, right. And didn't Jesus say something like that? You make him twice the son of hell as he was before.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember Johnny Cochran in the whole O.J. thing that you and I remember have a little footnote in history with the O.J. Simpson trial. Yeah. Johnny Cochran helped a murderer that we all knew this guy before he became a murderer.
Yes, we did.
So it sort of brings the whole nation into the crime in a personal way. Like when you know someone who then becomes a murderer.
Yeah, it really did. The whole nation was. Yeah.
And so when Johnny Cochran helped to get him acquitted, and we made the point at the time that they're just mainstreaming murder. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then his son was murdered shortly thereafter,
after
the trial.
Yeah.
And it is another dark irony because. Yeah. What happens is when these attorneys are willing to let murderers and criminals go free, it's not surprising when their own families are destroyed by the same criminal element.
Mm. People think that they can keep that at arm's length. Maybe Johnny Cochran thought that this wouldn't affect him directly.
Oh, yeah.
But it does.
Right.
It affects all of us individually.
Right.
Let's go to Colorado, Bob, because there was a decision yesterday, April Fool's Day, oddly enough,
I thought it was National Atheist Day yesterday.
Well, those are not consecutive, but
concurrent
holidays. Right.
They overlap.
They overlap. They happen to be on the same day every year.
Depending on your time zone. Okay, so National Atheist. Oh, it was also
April Fool's Day. The prosecution in the in the Aurora massacre,
the whole Joker thing.
Yeah, the Aurora Theater massacre. The prosecution announced on April Fool's Day that they will seek the execution of the killer.
Well, praise God for that.
Well, I'm glad they said that.
That is great.
But I think it's appropriate that they said it on April Fool's Day, because can I tell you the immediate effect of that? The immediate effect was that the trial was immediately pushed back from August to next February. The trial will begin at the earliest next February for a guy that everyone knows. If we knew O.J. was guilty.
Right. How much
this
more?
This guy. How much more do we know?
It's absurd.
There's
right?
150 people who saw him do it.
Doug, he should have been executed within hours of that crime, as in 24 hours, 48 hours.
Hours.
Whatever it took, he should have been put to death.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
But
and then people, as the Bible says, and then people will hear and fear and no longer act presumptuously. But no, people get put to death. They get tried years later. This rapist, the serial rapist in Colorado, William Costello.
I was stunned when you told me what is going on in that case. This guy is still walking the streets.
He's walking the streets with a relatively low bail. You know, the media reported he's a successful Denver realtor.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about his private life other than he's a Democratic activist, a pro-abortion activist. He was at the former Democratic pro-abort governor's a birthday party at the governor's house while he's committing these serial rapes in that same time frame. And he's only arrested because of our hero, dear friend Everett Stadick.
Go Everett.
Everett is.
Praise the Lord forever.
He worked for years at Mount Rushmore as the Abraham Lincoln lookalike.
Yeah.
There's more photographs of Everett Stadick out there in family albums. And Doug, and Everett was at a local grocery store getting signatures for personhood, which, by the way, is back in Colorado for 2014.
That's going to start up very soon. We're going to actually be able to get petitions.
Thursday night, there is a meeting at Cherry Hills Community Church.
Praise the Lord.
7 o'clock. That's down in Highland Hills.
That's a nice neighborhood.
South
Cherry
of Hills. C-470.
Yeah.
And so all you have to do, they moved south, that church.
Oh, is that
so
right?
So just go to ColoradoRightToLife.org, right at the top of the homepage, get the address and all, and please come out if you could. But Everett was getting signatures for the last signature drive, and this pro-abort Democratic activist who was arrested in the car of a Democratic politician.
He had a truck full of Democrat signs in his car
during the campaign.
Ironically enough.
Yeah. And you know, we've said for years on the show that rapists are pro-abortion.
Indeed.
Rapists. Of course rapists are
pro-abortion.
Well,
they would be the first ones to be.
And especially the rapists who are related, who
commit incest.
You know,
that gets to a question that I've asked for years that people don't understand why I ask it. But I've often asked women who are pro-abortion, who do you think was the very first person in all of history to conceive of the idea of an abortion? Hmm. Do you think it was a woman, or do you think it was a man?
Mm, wow.
And I've always thought that it was a man.
Wow.
Because that's the way abortion typically works. It's the man who wants to get rid of the inconvenient.
Right, right. Truth. And especially like some uncle or somebody who commits incest and threatens the young girl and brings her to Planned Parenthood where they help the rapist dispose of the evidence and they send the girl back home, the victim back home with her rapist.
Right, right. And I think
that's happened.
I think that is where that is the genesis of abortion. And I don't think if it was a woman trying to declare herself free of an oppressive patriarchal society.
No.
I don't think that's how it first happened.
Right.
And I'm thinking now that perhaps there was a rape involved the very first time.
Well,
we will find out one day.
Now, that's wild speculation.
But we will find out one day.
We will. And in Colorado, our attorney general.
Yeah.
Couldn't care less about all the examples. Colorado Right to Life, Leslie Hanks and I, with Joe Scott, went to the attorney general's office, brought the evidence, presented it to his staff, the evidence that Planned Parenthood and other abortion mills, not only in Colorado, but all over the country, but we played for him the audio recordings that they are systematically helping men get away with statutory rape, raping, impregnating very young girls, 13, 14 years old, and then they bring them to get abortions. And it's not reported as required by law in Colorado or elsewhere because they don't care about these girls. They care about killing the babies.
And these were audio tapes of abortion clinic personnel.
Yes, systematically.
Yes.
Planned Parenthood's nationwide all doing the same thing.
At least worthy of investigation. Wouldn't you say, Mr. District Attorney?
Telling the girls, do not tell anyone how old.
We don't want to know.
We don't want to call back. Hang up. Call back. Don't tell his name. Don't give his age. The attorney general's office said, well, we can't investigate. Well, we knew that. They don't investigate. We know that. But you could send a letter to the sheriffs of all the counties in Colorado saying that this is a statewide documented problem.
Right.
That abortion mills, they are not reporting suspected child rape.
Right.
And it's required that everyone in the medical industry, not that you could call them doctors, they're murderers.
Yeah.
But everyone needs to report suspected child sexual assault.
Right.
And they are systematically training their employees not to comply with that law.
Mm.
That's just the opportunistic attack on
Parenthood. Absolutely.
Yeah.
As well it should be. And the sheriff, sheriff who was aware of the situation through an official channel likely would have uncovered something and there could have been a prosecution.
And Doug, at American Right to Life's website, their article on exceptions and all, rape, incest,
mm-hmm.
and it says how rapists typically are pro-abortion, and it links now to the case against William Costello and Everett Stadig, this pro-life hero, who because of him and his courage, this guy was so filled with hatred that he assaults an at-risk adult. Everett is a senior citizen, breaks his hip.
Yeah.
Everett's in the hospital. So Costello is caught. Because it's a felony, suspected, you know, he's a suspect in a felony.
An alleged felony, yeah.
They could take his DNA.
Amen.
They
Good.
Got his DNA, and it started hits in the system.
Now, he's still walking the street, so I'm assuming some of those cases or allegations must have fallen apart. Because he hasn't been picked up. Is that the case?
They're just getting stronger. They're not falling apart. In fact, I don't understand the district attorney, the attorney who's on this case, his name is Bell. I don't understand why he's not fighting to have Costello locked up. This is a menace walking the streets. So they initially got three rapes.
His
DNA connected him to three. Now, a month ago or so, there's a fourth rape. This is a serial rapist.
Now, how often would a rapist, when new evidence comes in of a new crime and you're out on bail, Wouldn't you think you'd be picked up? Because now we've got evidence of another crime.
Another. Plus, there's the assault, the felony assault, yes, on an at-risk adult who had to go to the hospital to get his hip replaced.
And what about the possibility that this Costello character could be committing other crimes? He's committed four or five that we know of.
Of course he could be.
So you think he'd be picked up, but he's not. He's still walking the streets.
Yeah, so it's bizarre. But he has connections to the highest levels of Democratic politicians
now, who was
in Colorado.
Who was he friends with? Which governor? Was it the governor or the mayor?
Was it Love, or was it the other? Ritter?
Who was the other?
You know,
I actually forget. It's the Democrat before Ritter. Come on, folks. We can't think of his name. See how forgettable these politicians are. And they're so full of themselves. We can barely remember their name.
Sorry, it was Dick Lamb.
Dick Lamb.
You know where I went for the latest information on this case?
Where'd you go?
KGov.com.
There we go.
KGov.com/statig helps catch rapists.
And see, only a trained broadcast professional would even know that you had no idea who his name was because you got to it so fast.
Yeah, see that?
There at KGov.com. Yeah. A lot of good information there.
We really do have the best information on this case.
Oh,
better
no
than the Denver Post Westword or
absolutely
Channel 7.
Well, we have a vested interest in this case.
Yeah.
Because it was our brother who was assaulted.
Yeah.
And it was our brother who didn't back down. And it's because of Everett and, like you say, his courage. And
because
now,
the Denver police, you know, typically they take the side against the pro-lifer. When the pro-lifer is assaulted, they tend to take the pro-board side.
Exactly. They would come by and see Everett on the floor and ticket him for littering because he's on the ground.
You're not supposed to leave a mess there. Initially, it seemed like we have the whole case at KGov.com. Just search for Statig. Or Abraham Lincoln, if you want.
Yeah.
On KGov.com, and you'll find the case.
But it's just amazing to me that new evidence comes in, and this guy's still walking the street. Obviously, something smells. What's the old saying? Something stinks in
Denmark?
Peoria or something like that. Yeah, something smells in Denmark.
It's always smelly.
This whole case is very disturbing.
Yeah.
I don't like what's going on.
Right. It's fishy.
It's fishy.
And if you were to kill unborn fish, embryonic fish, there would be a protest.
Hickenlooper would be investigating.
Yeah.
He would assign a special prosecutor.
Yeah.
But Mr. Costello walks the street with five known victims.
Yeah.
And who knows what he's doing and what's he doing with himself these days?
So by the time he's back in court in May, late May, like 22nd or something. And this judge has said three times now, no more continuances.
Yeah. Oh, he said that three
times. So he's really, you know, a law and order kind of judge.
It took me a second.
No more continuances. And so by the time he's back in court, it's going to be almost a year, like 11 months since he's been picked up. And, you know, justice delayed is justice denied. And his attorneys are probably looking for ways to throw out the evidence because as defense attorneys, they want to get a rapist acquitted if they possibly can.
Yes, yes.
That's where they make their big money, when they can do that.
There was another disgusting element of this Aurora Theater massacre case.
Yeah.
A high-profile Denver attorney was on TV talking about, as of right now, this case, the success of the lawyers for the shooter will be measured in how long they keep their client alive.
Yeah.
That's all they care about now. Right. They just want to keep him alive as long as they can.
Right.
Now, they've already offered to have him plead guilty, so they've said, well, we know he's guilty.
Right.
They've offered to have him plead guilty.
Right. So the whole thing is a mockery of the victims.
Yeah.
And it's a mockery of criminal justice. And so we don't need to reform the criminal justice system. We need to build it anew from scratch, from the ground up, because it's utterly corrupt.
There needs to be a wholesale, fundamental transformation
And America has one of the worst criminal justice systems in the world.
Absolutely.
Now, the attorneys, all to a man, say we have the best system in the world. That only means we have the highest paid attorneys in the world.
Well,
that's what they mean by that.
Attorneys in Kaufman County, Texas, have stopped using that cliche, just so you know.
No.
Down in Kaufman County, they don't say that anymore.
Yeah.
That's where the two district attorneys are.
Speaking of, where is Kaufman?
Kaufman,
you know,
County,
our U.S.
Texas.
Representative, Mike Kaufman?
Mike Kaufman.
He was like pro-personhood, pro-life until he gets elected I'm not saying he's now anti. It's just he's AWOL.
You can't find him with a GPS. The guy's AWOL. Someone should file a missing
persons
report.
And this is typical. It's sort of like how Rush Limbaugh became so big because he just week in and week out was saying how wicked abortion is.
He did the collar abortions.
Then he gets in homosexuals are immoral. Then he gets really big, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. He just makes excuses why he doesn't talk about abortion.
Yeah. You know, he acknowledged on his show last week that we've lost the battle on homosexual marriage.
And that
he acknowledged that. He said we lost the language on this one, folks.
Well, we lost the battle on homosexual dental care.
That's all because, we lost, Rush.
Because the battle was supposed to be on homosexuality.
Hey!
But focus on the family. They conceded that war 20 years ago.
And so did Rush and people of
his ilk. 20 years ago when they, focus on the family, said equal rights for homosexuals.
Yep.
When they said that, we were on the air at the time. We said, you guys have just conceded the war.
Mm. Yeah.
Conceded the war.
Yeah.
Because Christians were going to be shoved in the closet.
Yep.
And homosexuals will begin to run public policy.
But Rush has had a very good run on the grist of arguing against homosexual dental care.
And, Doug, we're about out of time.
I know, but I got a poll. I know you're not big on
church,
polls. The telethon's over.
Resurrection Day. What?
We came within $150 of our goal, by the way.
$24,850.
Yeah. So if anyone wanted to just call in or send a check for $150 to put us over the top, we would go ahead and count that.
That would be wonderful.
Small grace period after the
telethon. Is that legal? Is it legal to count a gift after? Because this was the March telethon.
I know, but we make up the rules, so it's okay on the telethon.
Okay.
So I've got a poll, Bob. Rasmussen says 77% of Americans believed in the resurrection in 2012.
Right.
This year, only 64%. And 19% of Christians.
So wait, they said it dropped 13% in
it
one
dropped
year.
That's what Rasmussen says.
You know what that proves? Rasmussen is not very good at taking polls.
That is kind of a big drop.
Because you can't have that kind of a shift in national religious beliefs in one year.
Well, I hope not.
Well, but, Doug, our sermon on Resurrection Sunday, 2 days ago.
I was going to say, you covered this just a couple days ago.
And the evidence for the resurrection.
Yeah, awesome sermon.
And it was really a neat time.
St. Paul, 19% of Christians reject the resurrection.
That's like saying 19% of blacks are not black. What is this?
19% of blacks deny the existence of melanin.
That is bizarre. And 19, so one out of five Christians are not Christian. That's what it should say.
I think that's an accurate
statement. Yeah, because Paul said if Christ is not risen, then our faith is in vain. We are fools.
That's right. That's what he
said. Of course, right?
But no matter how many people don't believe, the resurrection is still true. That's
if 100% of people deny reality, it's still real.
Amen.
God bless you, Doug.